for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is the Friday evening service of May the 26th, 1995, for the Memorial Day Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Melvin Creason is the speaker for the evening.
We bless you and we appreciate the ministry of this.
Great is our God and greatly to be praised.
Amen.
Amen. I know that my Redeemer lives. That was the first testimony that the Lord ever gave me that I gave in public. I've been saved probably a couple of 3 weeks and was just thrilled with the reality of God. Though I'd been raised in a Christian home, I'd seen my mama dance in the Spirit till her hair came out of its bun, and we was taught Christian way. But when I was 28 years old, I gave my heart to the Lord, made a dedication to Him, and it amazed me. I was amazed at the reality of God. And I testified crying. I'm like Brother Glenn, we're kindred in more ways than one. A lot of times I can't preach for crying. But I testified to the fact that I know my Redeemer lives. I know He lives. And Job went on to say that in my flesh I shall see God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We could share about ourselves tonight, but that's not what we're here for. Most of you, I don't know, but I know Jesus. And I know that you know Him. If you don't, you need to know Him.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
For what He's done for one, He'll do for another. And we've been blessed to be here. I can say that the Word has been good, but more than good, you know, we can hear a good message and we can say, oh, that was good, and not even know what was preached. I've had people to come to me after I'd preached telling me what they got out of the message, and I said, how in the world did they ever get that? That wasn't what I preached. For it to be good, by that I mean that I've been added to. Praise the Lord. I have received. Brother began last night on one of my favorite teaching and preaching scriptures, and you added to me. Praise the Lord. I received, and I thank the Lord for it. And Brother Kyle, when he brought the word this morning, there was a thought came to me, well, several thoughts, but one thing that stood out. Seven times in the book of Revelations, it said, he that hath an ear, let him hear. Folks, it's amazing. It's astounding what someone can preach or teach, and then someone else get up and ask for what's just been taught.
Yeah.
I don't know if you felt that or not, but I did. Let's hear. Let's hear what God is saying through His anointed ministry. For God don't do this just to make a noise. This is not a reed shaken in the wind. God is speaking truth. Praise the Lord. And if we can hear it, we can go away blessed. when we hear it with the ear, let's understand with the heart. Praise God, and it will bring fruition to our life. Getting quiet now. Praise the Lord. Oh, well, glory. It will save a lot of work, a lot of re-explaining, if we can hear what the Spirit is saying.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I believe in the gifts of the Spirit. I believe in the fivefold ministry. I believe in the gift of prophecy. I believe in the office of a prophet. And most people hasn't learned the difference. And it's a dangerous thing. Praise the Lord. I believe in the gift of prophecy through exhortation, comfort, edification. That's what it's for. And if we will hear, you know, many times, if we'll hear what's being preached, it won't be needful to have hands laid on us and somebody prophesy to us. Amen.
Amen.
We got so used to this, folks, of personal prophecy that we quit thinking for ourselves. And God never intended for me to tell you what color to paint your house.
Amen.
He didn't intend for me to lay hands on you until it's time for you to go buy some groceries. Amen. Or to correct your children. See, I've seen it used to correct children. That ain't right, folks. That's your responsibility as a parent. Praise the name of the Lord. And don't get me to do your whipping for you. Glory. Well, I didn't want to come to preach on. I want to say this. We have went through two major changes in our Christian life. And I'll change again when God leads me in that change. I believe we're forever changing.
Yes.
And if we're going to grow, we have to change.
That's right. Amen.
I was saved during what was called the latter rain outpouring. Some of you know my pastor. Some of you did know her. Sister Alta Smith. Dynamic prophet and teacher. The wonderful gifts of the Spirit working in her life. I was saved under the evangelistic preaching of Brother Woods, Lester Woods, preaching a revival there at the church, and somebody tricked me into going to church, and I never could stand those altar calls. But God got a hold of me and saved me. And we sat 20 years under Sister Smith's teaching. Then we worked, we taught, we filled in. And through those 20 years, and when the Lord seen fit to take her home, He set me in as pastor. I was asked to take the church, and I said, not unless God speaks. And at Brother Jack Harris's camp meeting in 1978, they called me out of the congregation and told me that I was to take the church. God set me in as pastor. And but during that 20 years, as we preached and was taught the gifts of the Spirit, fivefold ministry, the infilling of the Holy Ghost, being led by the Spirit, singing in the Spirit, and I tell you, it was glorious. And then something happened, and our pastor began to teach some scriptures different. And she began to teach on sonship, being sons of God, full grown, mature, weos of God. This sounded strange to my ears. It troubled my heart because scriptures that I'd been blessed with was now being explained differently, and I didn't understand that. And one night as I was sleeping, laying on my left side, and I was asleep, the Spirit of the Lord touched me on my right shoulder. And He touched me from behind, really. Like, immediately I was awake. The Spirit of God on me. And a voice came from behind me, spoke into my right ear, and said, "This is the way. Walk ye in it." I jumped out of bed and I said, "That sounds like scripture to me." And I went into the living room and I scooped up my Bible and I found over in Isaiah where he said, "When thou goest to the right or to the left, thou shalt hear a voice from behind thee saying, this is the way. Walk ye in it."
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Well, I didn't have much trouble with it after that. Amen. Praise the Lord. And again, when the kingdom message began to be preached, well, I, like everybody else, when I first heard it, I thought everybody was trying to do away with heaven. And I didn't like that. But I could take you to the very spot, or right near it. I had a few cows, and I'd just go out in the pasture, walk around, get down in a ditch, maybe, pray, lay down under a tree, and just commune with the Lord out there. As I walked out past my barn, just got out into the pasture, maybe 40, 50 yards. And the Lord spoke to me. And He said three words. He said, "What about heaven?" And for the next probably 2, 3, 4, 5 years, I went about trying to prove to myself that there was a heaven, more than preaching it. And one day I got a shock. Sometimes you got to get shocked, you know it. I got a shock from a friend, a minister, which was a very hard minister. But it brought some scripture to me, and my eyes and my understanding began to open to what is heaven. And I don't thoroughly understand that today. I believe it's too big for us to understand only in the Spirit. But I see it differently today. And I think most of my Christian life, I've been preaching and telling that God is real. And through this, I came to the understanding that the purpose of God is to have a man in the earth. Not in heaven, but in the earth. That is in His image and in His likeness with dominion. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
In the beginning, God created man in His image and in His likeness. And He gave him authority over His creation. And ever since that man fell, God has been working His plan to bring it to completion. Praise the Lord. Without the restrictions that was put on Adam.
Hallelujah.
You can shout if you want to.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. See, Adam was subject to vanity. But when God gets through with this man, he won't be subject to vanity. Praise the Lord. Brother mentioned ruling with a rod of iron. You see, our government is run by the pressure groups. Now, if the local people can apply enough pressure, your senator, your congressman will do what you desire. But the lobbyists apply so much pressure, see, that all the laws and is made to benefit the lobbyist. Now, I didn't intend to preach this, but it's working awful good. Praise the Lord. But this man, praise the Lord, this man child, that child there, that's the only time that John ever used the word weos. As long as that child was in the womb, it was called a tikkun. But when it came forth from the womb, it was a weos. Praise the Lord. He's going to rule. The pressure group won't bother him. Amen. Unyielding force. Praise the Lord. Well, glory. God's going to have a man. We're going to try not to be lengthy. I took a lot longer there than I intended to. I just wanted to find, get into the flow there. Praise the Lord and share a few thoughts with you. I'd like to share some tonight from the 8th chapter of St. John. Glory. And I think we will be expounding the scripture that is found in 1 Corinthians 15, about the 50th verse. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Praise the Lord. We believe that Jesus, and according to the scriptures, he came teaching, preaching, and showing the kingdom of God. Praise the Lord. And at the same time, he came to his own. His own received him not. But he was trying to get them to see where they were. To recognize where they were. Amen? And this is a problem with us today. It's a problem with the church today. It's a problem with us. For we seek to justify ourselves and to condemn others. Amen. Praise the Lord. God wants us to take a look at ourselves and see. Scripture says, examine yourself. Take heed to yourself. Praise the Lord. What is my motives? What motivates me? Who am I? How do I come across? This bothers me worse than anything else, I guess, because I don't know how I come across to you. I know my heart. Praise the Lord. But I don't know exactly how you perceive me. Amen. And sometimes that bothers me. Because I like all men to think well of me. Don't you? Now, I do know people that they're not happy unless they're fighting. They got to have a quarrel. They can't live by other people. They got to quarrel with them, fight with them. Buddy, I can't stand that. If I can't get along with my neighbor, I'll move. I've lived in the same place for 38 years. Praise the Lord. So I'm not hard to get along with. We'd like to read here and we'll just follow the Spirit, try to. When we feel that He's done, we're done. There's no way that I can expound all of this in one night. Especially if God gets in and begins to move on it. Praise the Lord. We want to read from Let's read from verse 31. We'll read a few verses and then come back and pick up and start from along in here somewhere. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. I think that is necessary that we hear that. This was Jews that believed. Amen. If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Glory. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Glory. Now, see, talking directly to them. So they get to thinking. And they answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth ever. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that you're Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and you do that which ye have seen with your father. And they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. And this did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Now I'll tell you, it gets tough, doesn't it? Then said they unto him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Jesus said unto them, if God was your father, you would love me. For I proceed forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Praise the Lord. I guess better quit right there, and we'll maybe get on down in there a little farther, but we'll start back at the beginning here. I'd like to say this too before I begin to try to expound this, and we know that only with the help of the Lord that we can do that. We it is not our intent to cross anyone. Amen. I didn't come with that intent. I didn't come here to change you or to correct you. And if anything that I say crosses, it is not intended so. Praise the Lord. We only want to share that God has given unto us. And if you can profit from it, you're welcome to it. We're not here to debate or to argue. Amen? Amen. I have no arguments. I don't have to prove nothing. Amen. I don't have nothing to prove. I have no pedigree. Amen? I want to feed you and bless you, and you're welcome to what God has given us. And Jesus said, let him that receive it, that can receive it, receive it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Again, we'll note that Jesus here is talking to the Jews that believed. Praise the Lord. And I marvel sometimes at the wisdom of our Lord. A while back, we have prayer meeting on Wednesday night. We pray that I think if we're going to call it prayer meeting, we ought to pray. Amen. We receive the request. They might be 6, 8, 10, 12 of us there. We got 12. That's good. Praise the Lord. And we thank the Lord when we've got 10, 12. That's good. We receive the prayer request. And we pray over the request and for the needs of the body. And then if God gives us a word to share, well, we share it. And we just went in, got there before any of the people did, came in, and I just sat down on the platform, and I was just sitting there silently asking the Lord if he'd have me to share something, and he directed me to the 4th chapter of St. John. And I didn't have anything planned to say. I just got up and began to read it. And as I read it, the Spirit began to work, and we began to marvel at the wisdom of the Lord and how he led that woman step by step to conversion. Amen? To a revelation of himself. Praise the Lord. And here are these Jews that believe. Now he begins to take them just a little farther. Praise the Lord. And he said, now, if you will continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth. Man, won't it be wonderful? And I believe we have the mind of Christ. But won't it be wonderful when it's working 24 hours a day? Yes. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. We have the mind of Christ, but we're still leaning to our own understanding, you know. Amen. We're working in our own abilities. He said, now you're going to know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Now, first of all, here they tell a lie. Because they know they're not free. Now, they can be blind to the fact that he is talking about their sins. I can give them that, because they believe that because they're Abraham's seed, that they are accepted of God and that they are not in bondage to anybody. But at the same time, they were in bondage to Rome. Now, they knew that. And they knew that they were paying taxes to that Roman government, and they was only permitted to do what Rome would allow them to do. Amen? And they said, why, we're never in bondage to any man because we're Abraham's seed. Well, amen. Jesus answered and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. Praise the Lord. Romans 6, I believe it is, says, to whomsoever you yield your members, your body, has it? Members, servants to obey, his servants you are. Anyway, this is what happened to Adam and Eve, and that's the trick that Satan tried to play on Jesus. When he said, if you'll bow down and if you'll command these stones to be made bread, he was warning him to yield to his command and be his servant. Amen? His servant you are. Now, the 37th verse. We want to skip down to there. I know that you are Abraham's seed. Now, I think it is really important that we understand here exactly what he's saying, because he's being very plain. Plainer than we can usually be in church in a mixed congregation. But he's telling him, yeah, you're Abraham's seed, all right. You're his issue. I will agree to that. You are the issue of Abraham. But ye seek to kill me. And But ye seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. On down he said, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. Now, I told you that we were trying to expound the scripture from 1 Corinthians that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And I told you that we believe that God is creating a people, forming a people into His image and to His likeness, praise God, here in the earth. Hallelujah. And now I want to show you here what God did. And you know this, it's very familiar scripture to all of us. In the 12th chapter of the book of Genesis, God calls out Abraham. Amen. Now, if you go back to the 11th chapter, you'll find there the genealogy from Shem to Abraham. Amen. And I believe it's about 11 generations there. I'm not absolutely sure about that. We also know that Abraham was born in the land of Ur. Amen. And was really, they had become pagan. But God keeping this genealogy from Adam to Shem and from Shem to Abraham found in Abraham what he wanted. Amen. And he spoke to Abraham, said, get you out to a land that I will show you. Amen. Abraham obeyed, right? And God left Abraham and Sarah barren until Abraham was 99 years old and Sarah was 90. Is that right? And Sarah conceived miraculously. Sarah was the half-sister of Abraham. Amen. And then Isaac came along. Isaac grew up, and Abraham sent his servant back to his people. Amen. To get a wife for Isaac. Of the same blood line. And he gets Rebekah, brings her to Isaac. Isaac loves her. She conceives and bears two sons. But God chose one before they were ever born. God chose Jacob. Amen. And Jacob was sent back to Abraham's bloodline where he got two wives. Amen? Right, he did. Of the same bloodline. He brings them back with 12 sons and a daughter. Praise the Lord. And then God sends Israel into Egypt for 430 years. Yes. And now look at the wisdom of God. He sends shepherds amongst farmers. And every farmer hates a goat and a sheep. So Israel, with his sons, is isolated in the land of Egypt and cannot intermarry. And for 400 years, they're there, praise God, producing a purebred seed.
Hallelujah.
Now, I want to tell you, say, now, there'll probably be some people in here who may know more about this than I do. But I know this, that Brother Glenn can go out here and he can find him a group of cows. And he can start interbreeding those cattle till he gets exactly what he wants. And he can take that one and he can do what is called line breeding for 5 generations, and they call it a purebred cattle. And he can register those. Hallelujah. That's just 5 generations. But for 400 years, God kept his people isolated. And now he appears here on the scene in flesh and blood, a purebred, if you please. And he begins to talk to these people. And they say unto him, now we be Abraham's seed. I know you're his seed. But in the next verse, he says something else. He said, you're not his children. What has happened? Now, it wasn't that they were a mixed breed of people. They weren't. Because he said, I know you're his seed. But something has happened. And the thing that I see here is they have begun to trust in their own breeding, I guess is about the best word you can use for it, in who they are, and have forgotten what God has said. And there has been a deterioration set in them. And if we read on through the chapter, you'll find where they said, you talk, we'll just paraphrase it, you talk like you know Abraham. And you're not even 50 years old yet. But you talk like you know Abraham. And he said, what? Before Abraham was, I am. Man. And you know what he's saying here is he's saying very plainly that I knew Abraham. I knew him. And you ain't nothing like him. Oh, man. You don't remind me of Abraham whatsoever. Folks, do you know that there are people who call themselves Christians who wouldn't know Jesus Christ if he did appear in that body that he took to the cross? A man said to me not too many months ago, wouldn't it be wonderful if Jesus would just come again? My, he would be received. I said, what? They'd hate him just like they did the first time. And honey, when you and I start manifesting the divine nature of God that he intends for us to manifest, not just preach about it, amen, not just teach it,
amen,
but honey, to walk it out in our everyday life, honey, this has got to work. You can preach love all you want to. And we have, and we need to preach it. But honey, it needs more than preaching. Until it works in your life, it'll just be a mushy message that will tickle the ears of people. Glory be to God. But honey, when you can truly love your enemy, not just talk about it, not just pray about it. We preached in Fort Worth, Texas in March, the most simplest message that you ever heard. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And the message was that God loved. And he'd been proving his love all through the scriptures. And the same love that was in the Father was in the Son. It was consummated when the Son said, not my will, but thine be done. And the apex of it was when he was suspended on that cross, and they were wagging their heads and mocking him and saying, come off of that cross. He prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. How great is your love. I don't know about you, honey. I got a ways to go. I thank God for where he's brought me to. I thank God for where he's brought me to, but I'm looking for where I'm going. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. Now, I think God done something here that we need to be aware of. For this is the work of God. God called Abraham. God separated him from his people. God sent those boys back to that bloodline to get a wife. And God took Jacob into Egypt and incubated him for 400 years. But now Jesus sees the results and he said it didn't work. See, you got to show us something. You know, man hasn't changed. He still thinks he can do it. And you know, I don't know how many moves that God has started since the Reformation period. But there's been many moves started. And every one of them has ended up the same way. But this is it. We've got it. Uh-huh. And they formed themselves a denomination and died. Amen. And they're still preaching. The Methodist movement, just let me use that for example. You know, when the Methodist movement started, it was a holiness movement. Amen. And man, they had the moving of the Spirit of God, and they were filled with the Spirit, and they didn't know what being filled with the Holy Ghost was. They wasn't teaching it doctrinally. The people got so drunk they couldn't walk. And they went into what they call trances. Slain in the spirit. They hauled them home in the wagons. My. They couldn't walk. They were just slain. Passed out under the power of God. And they just pick them up, put them in the wagons and start home with them. Amen. Praise the Lord. And then they found a name. And they said, we have a method. And they called it Methodism. And every other real move of God has started much the same way. Folks, I wasn't in the beginning of the outpouring. But I had brothers, a brother and his wife, that was in a little Pentecostal church, 1947-48, when God began to pour out his Spirit. And people began to prophesy. And you know, he began to pour it out into those churches that were seeking him. But the pastor said, nobody can prophesy but me. And so they had to come out. My pastor that I just mentioned to you was in the Assembly of Gods. And it's not throwing off on assembly. If you're assembly, well, I'm not kicking you. I'm just telling you what happened. And God had used her mightily. And the Lord spoke to her and told her to go to a little church. Hold a meeting that wasn't Assembly of God. And she being submitted to the organization, and folks, we need to learn something about submission. I got one. Glory. See, too many of wild asses' coats running around. Don't submit to nothing or nobody. But she's being submitted, wrote to her elders for permission to go hold a meeting. They wrote back to her and said, we have plenty of churches. And if you need some place to preach, why, we've got a place for you. But I tell you, when God begins to lead you and draw you, you have to obey the Lord. So she obeyed the Lord. Well, need I say more? Amen? That suffices. Well, we've no more than I've been around. I can look back through church history and I can see how this has worked. And man has failed. God started with Abraham. But now the Lord stands in the presence of his seed and he tells them that you don't look nothing like Abraham. And I'm not talking about physical stature. Amen. There's nothing that reminds me of Abraham in you. Flesh will fail every time.
Sure. Amen.
I don't care whose genealogy it is.
Right. Amen.
Flesh and blood. This is what he was telling them. He was telling them, yes, you're Abraham's seed. But I'm telling you about the kingdom of heaven.
Yes.
Amen. I'm telling you of the kingdom of God. And in this kingdom, your pedigree don't mean much. Well, I've preached in 49 different countries. Yahoo! Somebody says that and a quarter will get you a cup of coffee. But it don't carry no weight. Praise the Lord. Now, it might excite some people, see, for they like to hear those things. They like to say, we got a speaker that's been all over the world. Well, that's good. But what's he been saying? And what's he been doing? We heard a report several years ago about a little island, and Brother Don Jones tells me it's Haiti, and maybe it is, where someone decided to keep some records. And in a matter of, I don't know, maybe 15 years, I forget the years of the missionaries that went in and come out, gave the report of how many they had saved. After so many years, there had been more people saved than there was on the island. Now this one I heard. A few years back, I ruptured a disc, and I had it surgically removed, part of it. Well, I had the doctor told me not to do anything, so I listened to him. I was just to walk in the house, and I knew why he didn't want me to walk on ground, because I'd lost the reflexes in my left ankle. And just a crack in a walk, and it just go, and I couldn't stop it. But anyway, I done something that I don't hardly ever do and haven't done much in all my life. I watched a television preacher, and I laid there listening to this man, and he said, today I'm preaching to 5 million. And then he went on to boast and say, if the devil can stop me, he can stop evangelism. Well, he got stopped, but it wasn't the devil that stopped him. Amen. Flesh and blood, that didn't impress the Father whatsoever. If he'd have felt the responsibility of preaching to 5 million people, honey, he couldn't have stood under the weight of it. And what he was saying, if I can interpret it right, was that the devil ain't big enough to stop me. Somebody is. Amen. When we begin to trust in ourselves that we are righteous. Honey, I'll let you know I'm nothing without Him. And I'll let you in on a secret. You ain't nothing without Him. But with Him. With Him. Hallelujah. I can do all things. Whatsoever that He commands me, I can do. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the name of the Lord. Let's go over to 1 Peter. We're a dependent people. But the most and only people who are truly secure. Glory. Hallelujah. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned or unpretended love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Being born again, glory, not of corruptible seed. Hallelujah. My. Adam was not formed corruptible or incorrupted, but corruptible. Amen. Praise the Lord. He was formed in the image and likeness of God, but he was made subject to vanity. He was corruptible. He could be corrupted. Amen. Now, don't try to pin some doctrine on what I'm saying here, because I'm not saying what you think I'm saying. Let's just keep our minds on the Word of the Lord and let the Word of the Lord say what it will. Amen. Being born again, not of corruptible seed. Now, Adam wasn't born of corruptible seed, but he was formed corruptible. But Abraham and those that followed him was born of corruptible seed. Amen. Now, Abraham may have had all the attributes that God was looking for, but he was still flesh and blood. He was still of the Adam generation. He was subject to corruptibility. Glory. And this is what Jesus is telling the Jew, is that don't be so proud that you're a Jew. And then he said it pretty plainly unto Nicodemus. He said, you must be born again. Praise the Lord. And now here he says, being born again, not of incorruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Now, I didn't go look that up this evening, but if my memory is right, being born again implies a continuing process. Praise the Lord. Yes, we've been born again. Yes, we're saved. Yes, we're delivered. Amen? We have been delivered. We are being delivered. And we shall be delivered. Praise the name of the Lord. We are saved. I hardly ever just preach a salvation message anymore. We used to preach it to Christians over and over and over and over again. But, you know, if a man's saved, let's go on. Let us go on to perfection. Being born again. Honey, when Christ came into our life, there began a process in us. And we were instantaneously saved. And if you can't remember when it happened to you, why, you're either... or something else. Amen. You either haven't been or you're wavering in your memory. Amen? I know when the Holy Ghost came into my being. I know when the Lord cleansed me after praying for maybe an hour at an altar, got up, sat down on the altar, exhausted. And I looked out across the congregation of probably 200 people. Well, it had diminished by that time. Some of them had left. But I was seeing through different eyes. Brother Lester Woods began to prophesy to a couple. I never heard prophecy before in my life, and I didn't even know what to call it, but I knew what he was doing. I knew that God was speaking through that man to them people. Amen. It took place in my heart and my life. A few days later, I was at, over that, not the same altar, because I was saved on altar on this side. And Brother Woods, every night he'd make an altar call. Man, I just hit the altar. And I'd start crying out to God. And I was laying over that altar crying out to God. And there was something that felt like electricity that started in my back of my head, and it went down my spine, and every joint was adjusted.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Didn't cost a penny. Glory.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And a few nights later after that, Brother Woods preached on the infilling of the Holy Ghost. I was sitting about three seats back like that gentleman there, and he was telling us that he was going to lay hands on us and we was going to receive the Holy Ghost. I believe what he said, and he was looking me right in the eye, and he said, "Now anyone that wants to be filled, come on." And he come and he said, "Come here." He never got to lay hands on me. As he reached for me, the power of God struck me in the back, knocked me forward into the pulpit, and I was speaking in other tongues.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. I tell you, he's real.
Amen.
You don't have to teach people how to speak in tongues.
Amen.
Honey, if you just listen to the Spirit of God, he'll speak for himself.
Amen.
And you know, what I done that, I just kind of rattled with my tongue. But that pleased everybody else. Well, it didn't please me. And I was at work, and I was praying. And I said, "God, I want a language like everyone else. I want to speak a language." I was a welder at that time. And words come into my being. And I spoke those words. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Ever since then, I've been speaking words, language. And a few times in my life, the Lord has took over my body and he spoke through these lips a language that I never learned and never heard. Well, there was some words that I'd heard. There was some words in there that was familiar to me. Praise the Lord. Most of the time I speak because I just get the unction to speak. And I just speak freely. Isn't that wonderful? Praise the Lord. But oh, those few times that the Spirit took my body and spoke through my lips words that I never learned and never heard. Hallelujah. God's real. Praise the Lord. And he's raising up a people, folks. I'm going to quit. The Lord let me. Hallelujah. I don't know. You may not be. I'm enjoying this. It's good. Hallelujah. We're being born again, not of corruptible seed. Neither of gold or silver that perishes, but by the incorruptible Word of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're being born again.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Now the first man fell, and Abraham's seed perished, as it were. You know, I don't know how anybody can believe in evolution. If they ever raised a cow or a chicken or anything, they'd know it could be so. Like the rich man said, that only a poor man thinks that money brings happiness. See? And people who never really had the experience of raising pigs, chickens, cows. See, a cow don't get better of itself. Pigs don't evolve and form into a better breed. Neither does corn or cotton or chickens. I bought some hybrid chickens one time, the prettiest things I ever saw. They were big white chickens. Man, they were big. And they had a speckled ring around their neck. Beautiful red comb. Man, they was pretty. And I said, I'm going to raise me some of these. And I saved me a rooster. And I had 10, 12 hens. And man, I saved up those eggs and I set them and hatched them. And out of the 10 or 12 chickens that I hatched off on that setting, every one of them was white but one. And he was... Whoever seen a chicken crawl through a stovepipe? I was raised back when we burned wood. We just had regular old stovepipes, you know, and when one wore out, we'd throw it out. Well, I'm old chicken just scratching around, and an old white chicken go through that stovepipe. Just, and when he come out the other end, you know what color he was? Smoky. Had soot all over him. And that's the way that one chicken came out of there just like he had soot on him. It's the only one that had any color to it at all. What are you saying? I'm saying, folks, if man don't continually crossbreed his animals, his grain, you know what happens to it? It goes back to the wild. I've tried to raise roses. Man, I bought them roses, and the first year or two, they have big old blooms on them, beautiful. In 4 or 5 years, I'm getting a single rose out there, a wild rose. What happened to it? It deteriorated. See, this is what happened to Abraham's seed. They deteriorated through a process of time. And everything that man puts his hand to will deteriorate through time. Honey, we're not getting better of ourselves. I don't care. Isn't it strange? When I was a kid, they said, what we need to do is educate the world. That's the reason we got heathens in Africa. I believe in education. Don't get me wrong. But honey, education will never change that beast nature into the nature of Christ. You educate a man and he's not saved, you got to educate a beast. Amen. And he's worse than he was if he wouldn't have had any education. Because you could outsmart him before he got education. But now he's educated and he makes you look like a fool. Yeah. So they get on television and they make abortion, homosexuality look acceptable and right and clean and pure, and those that oppose it looks like a fool. Oh, you got quiet then, didn't you? My! That's the truth. Don't ever try to debate with them. Just declare the truth and stand by it.
Amen.
Praise the name of the Lord. Don't try to defend yourself. We ain't got nothing to defend. Amen. We belong to Him. Glory be to God. My, We're being born again. Brother Bill Smith has a saying, and you've probably all heard him say it. These hot dog and hamburger revelations. Amen. It means where you ate too many hot dogs and went to bed and got a revelation. Say, so there's a lot of that. My honey, there'd be no real, no use for a real if there wasn't a false. Listen to what I'm going to leave a thought with you here. Honey, every time that we can lay hold of a truth, I'm talking about a genuine scriptural truth, we grow in God. Amen. We're changed a little more,
yes, sir,
into His image and into His likeness.
Hallelujah.
And when God gets through, and He's going to have it, I don't know when. I'm not making any, setting any timetables or making any projections. I don't know when, Brother Bill, but He's going to have a man.
Oh, hallelujah.
Praise the name of the Lord. That is in His image and in His likeness. Praise the name of the Lord. And He's going to be right here in the earth, and He's going to do exploits for God. Praise the Lord. Now, I don't believe that's one man. I believe the man of the hour, I believe that's done away with.
Right. Hallelujah.
I believe I've got a portion.
Yes.
I may not have it all, but thank God for the portion that I have.
Yes.
Hallelujah. I may not have it all, but thank God for that He's given unto me.
Amen.
And it has changed my life. And I've been changed from glory to glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And line upon line. And precept upon precept. And here a little. And there a little. Praise God. I told you that at the beginning of the service, you've added to me, brethren. I've received. Amen.
Amen.
I thank God for that I've that has added to me.
Yes.
For it will change me.
Yes.
And maybe the next time that you see me, it won't be just flesh. But it's not just flesh and blood now. Amen. For I don't know what I brought you without God. And flesh and blood didn't reveal this to me. Now you might have been preaching this for 20 years. 30. Had a young man preach a revival for me one time, and God blessed him. He had when he was 19 years old, man, he was preaching depths in the Word. And he preached what he would have swore was a new revelation that nobody else ever had. Which it was new to me, you know. But as he went out, there was a woman there that began to tell him how God had showed her that, and boy, it kind of offended him. He just couldn't hardly believe that anybody else in the world saw that but him. Well, honey, I really don't feel that way, because I've been around long enough to know that God speaks to other people besides me.
Yes.
But what I've shared with you wasn't taught me of man. Praise the Lord. Now, I've preached things I've been taught and learned. It was good. Man, I tell you, Brother Jack Harris has been he's been an apostle to me. Brother Bill Smith, G.C. McCurry, praise the Lord, a lot of others along the way. And I've learned, I've gleaned, and I've preached revelation that I set learning under their ministry. I told you I sat under Sister Smith 20 years at her feet. It'd be hard for me to preach, I know, without preaching something that she taught me.
Right.
And one thing that she taught me was ministerial courtesy. Hallelujah. Being in subjection. Praise the Lord. And had a tremendous ministry. Well, the Lord bless you. I thank you tonight that you have given me your ear. And I pray that you will hear what the Spirit has said to the church. Praise the Lord. God bless you, one and all. Will you stand with me tonight?
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
We have to leave early in the morning. But I'd like to just bless the remainder of this service and bless you tonight. Praise the Lord. I believe the Lord commanded us. I don't do this every meeting or every time at home even. In fact, I just do it when the Lord impresses me. But I'd like to just bless you tonight.
Hallelujah.
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 Lord, in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
God, I thank you for the ears tonight that has listened to what you gave me to say. God, I bless this people. I bless this meeting. I pray, God, that your Spirit would direct and guide and keep and prosper and supply every need. I pray, God, that you would minister unto this people as they yield themselves unto you, and that you would supply all their needs according to your riches in glory.
Hallelujah.
I bless their flocks. I bless their herds. I bless the fruit of their womb. In Jesus' wonderful
Hallelujah.
Name.
Lord.
In Jesus'
Hallelujah.
Wonderful name. Praise the Lord.
Glory to God, Jesus.
Why halt you between two opinions, saith the Lord? Yea, I bring thee to a decision this night.
Yes,
yea, I shall speak to thy heart, and I shall speak to thy will. Yea, I created thee, saith the Lord. Yea, thou art my creation, by my hand, saith the Lord. And I'm with thee, so make the right decision. And I'll put that decision in your breast, in your heart. And you'll know, you'll not be one that would waver, but thou shalt know the truth. The truth shall set thee free. For I am that
yes,
truth tonight,
Jesus.
And that truth is with
Glory.
Thee. Yea, as you obey me, and as you submit to my word, I, the Lord God, shall cause you to make the right decision, saith the Lord. For surely I raise up a strong people in this hour.
Yes.
I raise up an anointed people.
Yes.
Yeah, people that shall not break their ranks, neither thrust one another through. And I, the Lord thy God, shall go before this great army and know that the time is short. And I, the Lord God, shall surely raise them up in this hour. And thou shalt see this great army, yea, going across the land. And they shall do exploits in the name of the Lord. And they shall do the miraculous, saith God, because they're looking at the invisible one. So speak to my people, and know that thou can be part of this great army. I've called you, and yea, I shall help you in this hour to move up higher. I shall call you up higher. Yea, even as I called John up to the throne, many shall be caught up in this hour, saith the Lord.
Hallelujah.
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 This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.